That was worth getting up and shoveling the sidewalk for. Thank you. Thank you. You guys, I'm still hearing myself echo. Can you turn my volume down a little? Because I really don't need this for them to hear me out there. On this snowy Advent Sunday, there is a simple truth that awaits our discovery. I am the love that God created. Therefore, light and joy and peace abide in me. Hear those words. You are the love that God created. Therefore, light and joy and peace abide in you. This idea that light and joy and peace abide in me became real for me this week as I thought about this theme of joy. And I realized that joy and happiness are not necessarily the same thing. You see, when I think about happiness, I think about things outside of myself that affect this human being that I am. You know, relationships or the perfect job or a beautiful meal or, you know, you can make, go on and on and on, and all kinds of things could go on that list of things that make you happy. But those are all things out there. And I realized that joy came from in here. That joy was an inside job. And it reminded me of that quote from the 20th century Jesuit priest and scientist Teilhard de Chardin, who said that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. And so that is why I can stand up here in front of you and claim as a truth that I am the love that God created, and therefore light and joy and peace abide in me. So on this beautiful snowy morning, are you willing to claim that too? If you are, we'll say it together. So it's long, so let me say part of it, and then you respond, okay? So you don't have to panic, right? I am the love that God created. I am the love that God created. Therefore, light and joy and peace abide in me. Therefore, light and joy and peace abide in me. Beautiful, beautiful. So this is the fourth week of Advent, and the theme this week is joy, that infallible sign of the presence of God. And this may be one of my most favorite parts of the Christmas story, and so I want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke. This is the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those he favors. Peace to all men. Now, this is a well-known story. And biblical scholarship would tell us not to look for history in that story, but instead to ask ourselves, what meaning was there for the writer? What meaning was there for that early Christian community that heard those words? And when I think of that, I find that the writer was using some well-known royal images and themes that show us that they thought a divine gift had come into a largely unsuspecting world. A divine gift had been given, and the world was largely oblivious to it. Unity reads this story and reads it through metaphysical lenses and asks, what part of me was that shepherd? What part of me is that child or Mary? And I am personally struck by this image of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. You see, metaphysically, Mary and Joseph represent both the thinking and the feeling aspects of my personality, of any of ours, personality, both the feminine and the masculine parts of self. And together, they are on a journey to birth the Christ. And we have been on a journey this last month, this Advent journey, and our goal is the same as theirs. Our goal is to birth within us that Christ spirit anew. Now, probably the most significant symbols for me in this particular passage that I read lie in the inn and the stable. You see, metaphysically, buildings or rooms or anything like that represents a state of consciousness. And so I look at that inn and the busyness of the inn and how it was packed full of all kinds of people, and I say, what does that mean for me? And the first thing that just popped into my mind was, well, that represents my outer directed life. That represents the marketplace of life where I and everybody else engage, and we have work and we have activities and relationships and everything that I am involved with in this outer world. That's my inn, my personal everyday outer consciousness by which I live 99% of my life. The stable, on the other hand, is separate from the inn. It's not bustling full of people. It's quiet. Now, oftentimes, stables in Jerusalem in those days were simply caves or hollows in a wall of rock. It wasn't a separate building per se. And so caves and all in the mystery traditions of ancient times were places where devotees went to meet with their God. It was where the mystery religions happened. And so the idea of going to birth the Christ in a cave, in a stable, where there were no people, just the animals of the travelers, spoke to the ancient hearers as going to that quiet place, removed from the activities of life, that place where you could meet with God. Well, in unity, we know that place is within. And so that stable for me becomes that still, quiet place within me where I can let go of all that outer-directed personality stuff and become still and quiet. And lo and behold, there is the presence of the Christ within. It is a place of quiet nurture, a place where we can birth a new understanding of what it is to make that divine connection with God. Angels and shepherds. Angels are divine ideas or divine communication from God over and over and over again in the Bible. Now, shepherds, on the other hand, I see two levels to the shepherds. First, they represent the tribe of Israel. That is the history, the shepherds, the nomadic way of life. The sheep were the riches of the tribe. And yet, the shepherds, whose responsibility was to guard the wealth of the tribe, left the wealth and went to the cave, went to that sacred place to see God. I see those sheep and that tradition on the hillside as being the old paradigm of what they understood their connection to God, the covenant with God to be. And this new paradigm of this Christ child in the manger would completely make anew their understanding of their relationship with God. Likewise for us. And those shepherds are also within us. For we have personality parts and protectors that we have established through many years of life that guard and keep us well, that protect our heritage and protect what we value, and that can be brought to a new understanding of what is valuable that is within us. You know, one way to sum up this metaphysical reading of this little passage is that I must leave my normal, outer-directed approach to the world and turn within, quiet my mind, and open to a new understanding and connection to the God of my being. And when I do so, all the spiritual-oriented parts of myself will understand and will celebrate my true divine nature. For God and I now are one. For God and I now are one. You know, that's one way to read this story, a way that works for me. And there is always another way. There's always another view. One person not mentioned directly in this story that might be able to give us some insights is the innkeeper. The innkeeper herself. And I am sure that that perspective would be interesting to hear. So let's ask the innkeeper to share her story with us.
If I wasn't making money hand over fist, I would curse Caesar. Bethlehem was swarming with people, forced to come here for the census. Most of them were not happy, which made my job more difficult than normal. By the middle of the week, I was putting 2 guests per bed. By the Sabbath, it was 3. And I rented out my own bed and slept in the stable next to the milk cow. It was all a crippled old innkeeper could do to cram my cane under my hand, house the guests, oversee the cooking, and make sure my staff served the food and wine, stabled the animals, stopped the fights. I felt like a mastiff on a leash as I had to tell another impatient traveler, no room, the inn is full. But like I said, the money was good. Another knock. I clumped over to the door and threw it open and started to say the same thing I'd been saying all day. The inn is full. To those fools at the door. But I stopped in my tracks. It was a young couple. He was rather tall, but he didn't look very prosperous. She looked like she was going to deliver on my doorstep. But there was a stillness to her face that stopped me where I stood. And I found myself saying, there's no room at the inn, but I've been sleeping in the stable, and you're welcome to stay there too. When the man nodded his gratitude, I hobbled around to the back and showed them the stable, which was really no more than a hollow in the hill, hardly a cave. But they seemed grateful. I don't think I will ever forget what happened next. I went inside. Most of the guests had retired to their beds, so I sat down by the fire and put my leg up. I'd been running around all day. I heard a commotion in the yard, and when I went to the door, the yard was full of shepherds, and it was bright as if the sun was full in the sky. They were shouting something about angels. I didn't see any angels. But I saw the brightest star I ever saw in my life, hanging right over my inn. There was a big, burly man who grabbed my arm and asked me if there had been a baby born there today. I started to tell him he was crazy. But then I thought about those kids. So I led the shepherds around to the stable, and I heard a soft murmuring and realized that the girl had become a mother. As the shepherds crowded in behind me, I found my milking stool. Sat down in the corner and listened. That night I heard stories that people would call miracles. I must have fallen asleep, for I woke in the pre-dawn light, chilled and ready to start my day. I was late. I hurried back to the inn, got breakfast started. The first guests were starting to rouse, and it wasn't until after the breakfast rush and the cleanup that I was able to check on my young guests in the stable. They were fine, and the child, well, he was exceptional, or so I thought. I've been told he grew up to be a teacher and a healer. I'm not surprised. It was about noon that first day before I realized I'd left my cane in the stable. I never went back and picked it up. You see, I was the first one he healed.
Thank you, Polly. The innkeeper made a connection that took me years to make. The connection between joy and healing. You see, for most of my life, I've always regarded healing as fixing a malfunctioning body. You know, healing always took outer-directed activities. You know, I'd go to the doctor and I'd take medications and I would allow the bones to knit or the infections to be purged. And it was only after years of being in unity, combined with my personal spiritual work, A Course in Miracles, that I finally understood that the outer need for healing was only a reflection of my inner disconnect from spiritual source. You know, like the innkeeper who sat on that milking stool and accepted that Christ child into her life and was healed, I seek to deepen my own inner awareness of the Christ in of my being, and then to let that inner connection heal all of the broken reflections in my life. And as I allow the conscious connection of my inner Christ nature, I feel the joy that is that infallible sign of the presence of God. You see, it is the presence of God within that is my joy. It is the presence of God within that is my healing. And it is the presence of God within that allows me to claim that I am the love that God created, and light and joy and peace abide in me. You see, you are the love that God created, and the light and the joy and the peace that God gave exists in you. Are you willing to allow the Christ in you to bring that light and that joy and that peace up and to heal? Claim it one more time with me. I am the love that God created. I am the love that God created. Therefore, light and joy and peace abide in me. Therefore, light and joy and peace abide in me. And so we simply say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And it is. So as the choir comes up, they are going to sing Silent Night and lead us into a time of meditation.